Sunday mornings while I'm ministering. I'm actually away on holiday next week. You got James Wilson from Waldronfield Baptist Church, young guy over there, one of the pastors. You'll love him. He's been here before two or three times, and hopefully you'll remember him. You'll have a great Sunday next week with James in the morning, and our own John Banks is going to be speaking and leading the service in the evening. But while I'm here, we'll be in Ephesians, and this morning we're in chapter 1. Thanks, Sarah.
So the reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Great stuff. Thanks, Sarah. Hopefully those words are becoming familiar. They're the third time we've read them through on a Sunday morning, and we've been looking at all that God has done for us in Jesus, the blessings that we have in Jesus. We've seen that he chose us, he predestined us, he's adopted us into his family. And now this morning we're going to have a look and home in on one other thing that he has done for us. And we're going to be looking in verses 13 and 14. This is what they say. Really, really important verses for us. Read them through. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We've seen all that God has been doing for us. The other thing we've noticed is that it's all for his glory. It's all about God. It's all from God, done by God, and for God. Our existence here as Christians, as his people, we exist to live for, exclusively for, the glory of God. What we've got in these verses here is, I think, something of critical importance for us. It's beautiful what God has done for us. But it's critical for us in terms of our own contentment and peace of mind and assurance as God's people. Lots of Christians have questions about all sorts of things. It's okay to have questions, all right? It's okay to have questions. As long as they're not actually questioning what God is doing and that kind of thing. Question, why is he doing it? How is he doing it? And all those kind of things in order to find out the answers. And try not to do it in a way that kind of attributes some negative thing to God. Those questions are not helpful. If you've got those, then try and get them sorted out. Talk to someone. But there are questions which are legitimate, but which are troubling to our minds and our peace. And I think the most troubling kind of question is around the whole thing. How do I know if I'm a Christian? How can I be sure that I'm going to go to heaven? How can I be sure when I leave this scene of time that I'm going to be in God's presence? How can I be sure that down here I'm forgiven and that he's with me and he's going to help me? How do I know that? Can I lose my salvation? Can I be a Christian and then lose it? Can I stop being a Christian somehow? Can I commit the unforgivable sin? There's a part in the Bible that speaks about a sin that's unforgivable. Can I lose that? Have I committed that sin? What happens if I have? Those sort of questions are deeply troubling. And these verses here in Ephesians give a decisive and unequivocal answer to those questions. As God tells us that he has put a seal on his people. He has put a seal, a mark, as Paul says, that absolutely guarantees our inheritance. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So if you have the Holy Spirit, if you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, then you are absolutely sure and definite, positive, that you will make it. God will ensure that you make it to heaven. And so this morning, I want us to look together, just for a few minutes, at this whole thing, to see the difference it makes. And I'm going to ask you the question, do you know that you've got that seal? Do you know that you've been sealed? Do you feel that seal? And if you would say, I'm not sure about that, then by the end of it, I hope that you'll know yes or no. And you'll say, well, can I have that seal? It would be wonderful if we all knew absolutely for sure and felt in our hearts that God has sealed us, wouldn't it? It's one of the great privileges that we have. So what is the seal? Well, we don't have to look very far. It's there quite clearly. The seal is the Holy Spirit. The seal is the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, God had done something to these people for their sakes and for his. He'd done something to them. You were marked. You were sealed. Something that they would both know and see and feel. What sort of thing did the Holy Spirit do? How does this seal work? Well, seals in those days had a number of different functions, much like they do today. I think we could cross this over into our everyday life. The seal is a sign of a done deal, something that's signed and concluded. If you've ever gone through a legal procedure of one way or another, you will have a document that is sealed, stamped with an official seal, or maybe like you've got on the picture here, the document is bound up and there's a wax seal with an imprint put on it. One of the things I used to do, we often joke about the job I used to do, I did have a real job once upon a time, making pickles in the pickle factory. Right, we made jars of all kinds of things. You know how to test whether a jar is good or not, don't you? The little popper on the top, on a jam jar. If it pops, it's been opened. If you're in a shop and you can pop it in and out, don't buy it. The seal has been broken. That little popper is a seal. It's a sign. If it doesn't move, then it's good. The seal is still there. There's a vacuum in it. It will be good. It's a seal. It's a sign. It's a sign. Legal documents will have a seal put on them, like this one here. Sometimes it will just be a signature. If you're married, you signed your wedding certificate. If you didn't, you're not legally married. You sign it. You know that in so many walks of life, they ask you to sign it. That's the official, like the seal. Footballers. Hey, good this week. It switched, signed two players. Beginning to wonder whether it happened. You know it's real when the player signs their name. That's kind of like the seal on it. Now, the Holy Spirit living in us is a sign that our salvation is a finished, done deal. that everything is paid up. There's nothing to add. There's nothing to do. It is finished, totally, completed. You're forgiven. Nothing can change it. The deal has been struck. Nothing can undo it. It's secured. Okay? So it's a sign of a done deal. Your salvation, if you're a Christian, and you've got the Holy Spirit, His presence in your life makes it absolutely certain, for sure, that you're a Christian, that you will get there, guarantees you'll get to heaven. So it's a sign of a done deal. Secondly, a seal will be a sign of ownership. A sign of ownership. The Holy Spirit's ministry in us and through us will be a distinctive mark that we belong to God. Now, Jamie and I, we're going to go for a week's walking up in the Yorkshire Dales tomorrow morning. We're going tomorrow morning for a week's walking in the Dales. We know up there we're going to see a lot of sheep. How do you tell one person's sheep from another person's sheep? You know, they all just seem to roam across the hills, don't they? They have a mark on them, don't they? They have a kind of a seal, a mark that identifies one from another, different colour marks on them. So they can be sorted out. You don't belong here, you go your way. Or somebody's nicked one and they say, actually, that's my sheep. He doesn't belong to you, he's mine, because he's marked with the dye. That a distinction is made. And with the Holy Spirit in us, he's given to us as a mark to show that we belong to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work in us should have the effect of making it clear to other people and to us who we belong to. There should be things that mark you out as a Christian that mark you out as different from other people. And I'm not talking about the fact that you go to church. Lots of people go to church, but they're not real Christians. Lots of religious things that we can do. Then we're not talking about that. I'll come to what it is in a moment. There should be things about you that mark you out as different, that can be seen and recognized that you're a God's child. And remember this, the sheep with the mark, the condition of the sheep say something about the shepherd, don't they? If you see a mangy, you know, flea-ridden sheep, and you do occasionally see them, you know, the wool all falling off and you can look in there and they've got the mange and they're raw flesh and you know, they're obviously not looked after. It says something about the shepherd, doesn't it? The way we live will say something about our shepherd as well. The way you live, the way you speak, the way you act, the way you react to things, it will say something about your owner, the one who purchased you with the blood of Jesus. You know, you're not your own. You belong to him. You've been bought by him. The way we live will say something about him. We want to speak well of him, don't we? We want our lives to speak well of him. When they look at us and they see the mark, and they say that we're a Christian, we want them to say, they must have a good father. They must have a good owner. I'd like to be like that. So that's the second sign. The third purpose of a seal is as a sign of genuineness. A seal, as on here, will have an imprint on it that's unique and individual. It sets it apart and says that this is the real thing. When you buy something, you look for a sign usually. If you buy a nice piece of bone china, have you seen Antiques Roadshow or any of those kind of things? And they'll bring their possessions along, treasured possessions, and they'll pick them up and they'll inspect them. And the worst thing that happens on that show, I don't watch it very often, but I would imagine the worst thing that can happen as they pick it up, the person who's gone has got this treasured heirloom, but there's no mark on it, and it's not the real thing. It's a fake, the disappointment. On the other hand, they go and they're not expecting anything, and the expert looks at it and he can see a mark. He can see the distinctiveness of an artist. He can see the mark from the craftsman, the potter that made this wonderful piece of porcelain, or this clock or whatever it is. There's a mark, there's something. And he says, because it's got that, we know it's genuine. And they will then start to go off into all other things. The mark shows whether a thing is authentic whether it's an imitation and a fake. There will always be a mark of some kind. So it is with the Holy Spirit in us. His presence, seen and felt by us as God's people, proves to us and proves to other people the genuineness of what we say. So this is what the seal of the Spirit is all about. The obvious question then is, do you know this? Do we experience anything of that? Is there something that you can point to and say, that or this marks me out and I feel it and I know it? Do others see something distinctive about you as God's child? Do they see the distinctive work, ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do they know who you belong to? Is it obvious who you belong to? Are you sure who you belong to? That's the most important thing. Are you sure? And on what basis? We can have assurance on the basis, and praise God for this, and I'm not undermining this for anything, but we can have the basis. Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Now that's a good basis, isn't it? We can have assurance on the promises of God. Thank God for that. But you know, there is a stronger assurance. There is something else, and that is what this seal is. When he's there, he brings a sense of assurance and confidence and boldness to us. Directly, personally, in our hearts. And I ask those questions because it's my sad experience that many Christians don't actually have that inner sense of the Holy Spirit. It's all very in the head, very academic. Well, I'm a Christian because the Bible says it. Great, that's wonderful, and I'm not downplaying that. But when you feel something and you know something, it's a different matter. Do you remember those of us of a certain age? Do you remember Prince Charles when he was engaged to Lady Di? And they said, do you love her? And he said, well, yes, whatever love is. It instantly says he didn't know what it was, doesn't it? He didn't feel it. You know it if you feel it. How do you describe if you love someone? Now, there are feelings. Obviously, you show it in certain ways. But there are feelings, aren't there? And you can't describe those feelings. You can't tell someone else what it is. Is it a flutter? Does your heart go? You know, does your pulse race? Whatever it is. But there's something there. And I'm telling you, it's the same with the Holy Spirit. There is something that he does that will tell you. You will know it. Difficult to describe. And a lot of Christians don't seem to know that. They're clearly Christians. They're clearly Christians. They've asked Jesus to forgive them, trying to follow in his ways, trying to obey him, but don't have that immediate witness of the Holy Spirit within them. For many, it's what you don't have, you don't miss. They live lives like that. But these believers in Ephesus that Paul is writing to here, they knew this. You see, he says to them, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. He's talking to real people. Like, having believed, you were marked. You know this. You know what happened to you. They knew it. And yet, we have to say, it wasn't always that way. If you were to go back to, well, we haven't time to dig into this too deeply. If you were to go back into Acts chapter 18 and 19, you'll find there the beginning of the church in Ephesus. And it describes to us how there was a number of people became followers of Jesus. And after a while, having professed faith in Jesus, they were visited by the Apostle Paul. And he, as he watched them, as he talked with them, as he listened to them, he sensed something wasn't quite right. Somehow those young Christians were missing something. And he discerned that what they were missing was these sealing distinctive marks of the Holy Spirit in their life. He dug a little bit deeper and he found some serious deficiencies in their understanding and their kind of what they understood of the faith. And so he taught them again and he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, so he baptized them. That tells me that Paul believed they were Christians. They'd got faith. They'd professed faith in Jesus. There's no doubt that at that point, when he baptized them, they were real Christians. But still, there was something else. After they were baptized, Paul laid his hands on them. And when he laid his hands on them, in Acts chapter 19, it tells us that the Holy Spirit came on them and filled them and gave some authenticating marks. For them, they did things like speaking in tongues and languages they'd never understood. Other things that gave them understanding of the Bible in a way they'd not known before. Seals and marks of God's ownership that authenticated them, set them out to them. You imagine suddenly being able to speak in a language you didn't understand. I think you might realize something had happened, wouldn't you? And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Not to everybody. Not to everybody by any manner of means. Some of you do that. I would guess majority of us don't. For some people, that's the kind of thing. But there'll be something that you'll know when the Holy Spirit comes in this kind of way. You see, it's those events that I've just described in Acts chapter 19 that Paul is referring to here in Ephesians chapter 1. Having believed, you were marked in him. The Spirit came on them. We could say the Holy Spirit filled them. And from that moment on, things changed. Belief in their hearts became experience. Things, as I say, happened to them that didn't happen before, and was able to convince them and show them and to show other people that things were different. And their experience of something happening, something that they knew and felt, gave them an assurance. It gave them a confidence. It gave them a boldness. And you see, as you read through the book of Acts, and we're going through the Acts in the evening, you'll find that when people were filled with the Spirit in this kind of way, they had a great boldness. What is it that gives you boldness? If you're willing to stand up and say something, what is it that's there? You're certain about it, aren't you? And what is it that makes people hesitant? Because they're not sure. They're not certain. And I believe that our greatest need in these days is to have a total confidence of whose we are and what we are as God's people. Many of us are timid. Many of us are, sometimes we're ashamed. We're afraid of what we're going to say. You read the Acts of the Apostles and the people there when they were filled with the Spirit. And we're going to come to one of these passages tonight in Acts chapter 4. Well, actually, we're not going to get to chapter 4 tonight, but we're going to listen to that passage. It says that when they were filled with the Spirit, they spoke the word with God with boldness. And the Lord did the rest in saving lots of people. Confidence and boldness. Would you like to have that boldness? I'm not going to say you're going to stand up and be preachers, but would you like to be able to not be afraid, have more courage and confidence in yourself and in Jesus, in your faith and confidence in what he's done for you? You see, when that comes, it changes everything. So I want to ask you this morning, have you had that? Do you know it? You see, if you knew it, if it's happened, you will know. You would have felt it. If you haven't, would you like it? Would you like to have that inner sense of confidence? Sometimes people say to me, I feel as if there's something missing. You know, I think sometimes this is the thing that's missing. This witness, this seal of the Spirit that assures them, gives them confidence and peace of heart and joy. Comes from knowing we are safe and secure. We're sealed by God in Jesus. Then what I want to ask you to do, I want to encourage you to do it when we take communion in a few moments' time, use that time to say how you feel. You wouldn't be taking communion, I hope, unless you're a believer. You should, if you're not a believer in Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then you shouldn't be taking communion. That's for the followers of Jesus. You're welcome to stay in with us. Please, you know, we're glad that you're here. But this is a thing for believers. I'm saying to you, as you believer, if you sit there and take in the bread and take in the juice, take in the cup, just say to the Lord how you feel. Ask him for more. Say that you'd like to have that sense of assurance. Little one comes in, he wants his mummy. You know, he knows where mummy is. He knows he's going to be received. It's what we want, isn't it? To feel that from the Lord, that the Lord would take us up and carry us and hold us in his arms. Maybe you know it in the past. Maybe you felt that sense of certainty because something's happened inside. The Spirit has come. But you haven't got it now. Then, you know, in the Bible, believers were filled with the Spirit many times. It's not just a one-off event. People say to you, are you a second blessing man, Stuart? I've said it many times. Say, yes, I am a second blessing man. Unashamed of it. But I'm a third blessing man and a fourth blessing man and a fifth blessing man. I want to be filled up with the Holy Spirit all the time. And I believe that many of you do. I wish we all did. I pray to God that we will. I pray that we'll have that longing in our hearts, the desire, an openness of heart, that the Lord would come and fill us. So as we take communion, we remember the Lord. We're saying again, Lord, I do believe, and this is my trust. You know, without you dying on the cross, none of this would be possible. Without, you know, you rising from the dead, this is where it is. This is what it's about. But Lord, I want to feel that. I want to know that more. I have that confidence, that boldness every day in my life. Lord, would you come along having given me this, having died for me, Lord Jesus, would you give the Holy Spirit to me in a greater way to come and fill me again? And if any of you would like even more than that, if any of you would like me to pray with you after the end of the service, I'd be very happy to do that. It's not magic. I'll sit with you and I'll probably put my hands on you. It's often how when Paul prayed for people, for those Ephesian Christians, he just laid his hands on them, he prayed for them and received the Holy Spirit. I don't know how that works. But I know it does work. Some of you will testify that when we've been here and I prayed with you or raised, God has done something. It's been a certain indefinable something. Some of you confessed a bit of healing. Some of you confessed to, you know, a healing inside or a lifting of your spirit. There's something that God does. If you would like me to pray for you at the end of the service today, I would be happy to do that. Having believed, you are marked in him with the Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Lord, please, would you grace us? Would you grant us this favor, this mercy, that each of us here this morning would know this filling, this sealing, this security that comes, this mark that sets us apart, that we can see, that gives us the total assurance that we're yours. And then the joy and the peace and the courage and the boldness that comes from that. Oh, dear Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said that if we ask for a good thing, then you'll give it. If we ask for a good thing, you will grant to us the Holy Spirit. Pray in Jesus' name then that you'd hear this and this prayer and you'd grace us with this mercy, this favor today. In his name we pray. Amen.